These people, like the Cro-Magnons, dwelt in caves, but they also lived in open settlements during a period from about 11,000 to 8,500 BC. The largest of these settlements lay close to the boundaries between coastal plains or grassland valleys and more hilly zones. The result was that they could exploit a broad range of foods from more than one ecological zone while living in one place. This is an extremely, extremely efficient and effective adaptation. They buried their dead in cemeteries, where for the first time the skeletons show signs of social ranking. How do we know this, that some people were more important than others? Those important individuals lay with distinctive, unusual artifacts. For example, stone bowls. Very difficult to make. They have to peck out the interior, a process that takes a long time. These were clearly symbols of status. But why do you need status? Because there was a need for the first time to maintain order in increasingly large communities, and also to make sure that food within these communities was distributed equitably. You see, people now are living closer and closer together. If you were Cro-Magnon and you quarreled with someone, you could move away. When you live in a permanent settlement on an ecotone, where to move elsewhere is dumb, you have to have other systems and recourses to resolve disputes, and we suspect that leadership may have been the reason for this, that it helped consolidate things and make it work. This became very important later on, as we'll see, because after 10,000 BC, the Natufians and their neighbors were faced with increasingly drier conditions at a time when their population was expanding, a recipe for disaster. Droughts became more and more common, and both nut and cereal crops shrank, the wild ones, and permanent water became less plentiful. Now, these severe drought cycles in southwestern Asia coincided with a dramatic geological event in the north, which has important implications for us with global warming. A huge meltwater lake in northern Canada was trapped by glacial deposits, enormous one. Suddenly the dam broke, and millions of gallons of fresh water cascaded into the North Atlantic, flowed over the surface of the salt water, and shut down the natural circulation pattern of the Gulf Stream, where salt, warm water drops to the bottom of the ocean. The result, zap, probably within a few generations. As a result of melting of ice sheets, Europe was plunged for 1,000 years back into near glacial conditions. Just think for a moment, if you had a massive melting of the Greenland ice sheets as a result of humanly caused global warming, we really could have another ice age. Interesting thought. But the effect on the Near East here was drought. Severe drought. And this was a moment of truth. The forest shrank, population was still high, the natural yield of wild grasses, which they turned to when the nuts became less common, were less. What could you do to compensate? That's the question. And in the next lecture, we'll tell you what happened. Because with the Younger Dryas, it's named after this polar flower, you are at a moment of truth where population in much of the world is up at the limit. And in this lecture, we've surveyed some of the climatic changes which triggered this change. We've surveyed some of the ways in which people adapted to this new world. Briefly, this warming was interrupted by the draining of Lake Agassiz, as this lake is known, into the Atlantic. But in Southwest Asia, this moment when the circulation shut down and drought came caused a crisis. And this was the moment when agriculture began.